The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he put this question to his disciples. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say he is John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, he said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter spoke up, you are the Christ, he said. The Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Simon, son of Jonah, you are a happy man, because it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So I now say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the underworld can never hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be considered bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be considered loosed in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. So we don't usually get St. Peter and Paul on a Sunday, but this year, because it fell so close to the Sunday, it was moved to the Sunday Mass. But it's always a holy day of obligation, so you'll have been at Mass on this feast day before. You celebrate the feast, so we celebrate the martyrdom of St. Peter, the first leader of the apostles, the first pope, and the martyrdom of St. Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. So we know from the Acts of the Apostles that St. Paul ended up in Rome. He ended his missionary career in Rome, and pious tradition has it that he was beheaded somewhere near the Via Appia on the outskirts of Rome. He gave his life for the faith. And again, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the first reading, we hear about this persecution breaking out in the church in Jerusalem, and Peter disappears at that point. So Peter leaves Jerusalem, and he kind of drops out of the Acts of the Apostles. But pious tradition has it that he passes first to Antioch, and then eventually that he passes to Rome and is killed in the persecution of Nero round about the year 63 AD. And, you know, archaeologically, we have as much evidence to suggest that Peter was in Rome and was martyred in there in Rome, such that it's a pretty good historical hypothesis. So normally on this feast day, what you get is you get a homily on the importance of the city of Rome for us as Catholics and what that means. And usually that also kind of spills out into the role of St. Peter, the Petrine ministry, the role of the Pope within the Church Universal. However, today, just for a change, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just pick up on one thing in the Gospel, which is almost there, sort of, you know, so obviously this Gospel from Matthew, this math text, Matthew 16, is all framed around the role of Peter. But there's one thing implied in it, which I think is actually really, really important. And we pass over it so often because we want to get to the thing which is at the heart of the passage, which is the role of Peter and the role of the Pope. But listen to this. Simon, son of Jonah, I say to you, you are Peter. Okay, fine. Role of Peter. Important. Simon's name is changed to Peter. Simon Petrus, rock. Okay, that's all important. But then this. And on this rock, I will build my church. It is Christ's intention to found the church. Christ wills to found the church. The Son of the living God wills to found the church. And that is important because it means that the church is not an afterthought. It is not an accident. It is not a human creation. We are not the Jesus fan club who got together of our own accord after the death of Jesus and decided that guy Jesus said some nice things and we should probably try and pass them on. The church is willed and wanted and envisioned by Christ. Jesus did not leave us a book. You know, we know from the Gospels that the Lord could read. He stands up and he reads the scriptures in his hometown, in the synagogue. We know that he can read. We can conclude probably that he could also write. He could have written a book if he wanted to. About 10 years later, St. Paul writes letters all over the place. We still have them. If Jesus had wanted to write something, he could have written it down. He did not. Because he did not want to leave us a book. Catholicism, Christianity, is not the religion of a book. What Jesus did, if you look at his public ministry, was he gathered around himself a community of people who were shaped by the impact of his personality, by his capacity to free them and to allow them to be themselves, to forgive them and to make them whole, who were shaped by his personality. And within that community, he established some kind of hierarchy. So we know that there were disciples, and then within the disciples, there was this group called the apostles. And the 12 apostles, which obviously echoes the 12 tribes of Israel, because this community that Jesus is forming is the new people of God. And within those 12, there is one who is given a special role, Simon Peter. So Simon Peter, you are the rock upon which this church that I will, it is upon you that this church will be built. And then the night before he died, the night before all of these apostles who he'd specially chosen either betrayed him or abandoned him, nonetheless, he took bread and he took wine and he said, "This is me." And he handed himself over to these apostles who were about to betray him or abandon him. And he said, "Do this in memory of me." And so if you want to know what is this reality that Jesus Christ willed and founded, you look around for an institution that for 2,000 years has been doing exactly that. Look around. This is it, the Catholic Church. Look around. That's where we are. We are in that institution that Christ willed and wanted. That's what the church is. That is not to say that the church is perfect. Far from it. We know that we know painfully that the church is not perfect. We know painfully that there are people who are members of the church who have done terrible things. We know painfully about ourselves, that there are aspects of ourselves that are broken. And we're members of the church, so there absolutely is brokenness in the church. So just because we say that Christ willed and founded the church doesn't mean that we sort of take our brains out and put them in a jar when we start thinking about the church. Absolutely not. But nonetheless, the church is that reality that Christ wills and that continues to make Christ present. And so when we look at the church, we look at the scandals that have surrounded the church, not just in our own time, but throughout history. It's right that we have a certain healthy dose of skepticism about the church. That's absolutely right. However, we should also have a certain skepticism about our own skepticism. if you see what I mean. Because very, very often our motives are not pure. And very, very often when we decide to remake the church, what we end up doing is remaking the church in our own image and likeness. You know, so you get these, controversially, you go to these deanery meetings and you get these priests who bang on and on and on and on and on and on about reforming the oppressive rules of clerical celibacy. We must reform this. They bang on and on and on about it. And what you usually find out about 5 years later is that there is a reason very close to home why they're banging on about clerical celibacy. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, and I don't really have an axe to grind about clerical celibacy, but what I am saying is that very often, when we decide that something definitely needs reformed, sometimes in our passion for that reform, our motives are clouded and they are less pure than we think. And my point is that the church is willed by Christ and it is a treasure that is entrusted to us by Christ to be passed on from generation to generation. It is not our plaything. And it is not our creation to be changed at our whim. It is right that we should be passionate about the church. It is right that we should be scandalized by the scandals in the church. And it is right that we should wish the church to reflect the image of Christ more perfectly to our times and to our children. But that passion we have for the church should be measured and tempered by the realization that the church is not our own. It is not our creation. It is the creation of Christ our Savior. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church.